brought to you by Bare Bones Barbecue. Y'all, it's my first sponsor and I'm so fucking excited about it. One of us, one of our brethren, one of our followers, one of our brothers is out in Los Angeles fucking going through it. Just a Texan on a mission. And you know what that mission is? It's barbecue. Check out Bare Bones Barbecue on Instagram, BEARBONZBBQ, and find them at barebonesbarbecue.com. Y'all, they are the newest joint in Los Angeles. You can find them in Commerce off the 710. They're open on Saturdays and Sundays. You can call ahead and order that week. They'll give you a time slot. You can come by and pick it up. Otherwise, you can show up anytime, all day long on Saturday and Sunday. They open at 10 and they're open until they sell everything out. I hear that the brisket in the tri-tip is fucking phenomenal. I need you to go out there. I need you to take some pictures, maybe some video. If you're maybe the first one that does this and you slide into my DMs, I might send you a My Maria 777 care package. I don't know. You should try it. Get out to Bare Bones Barbecue this weekend. Commerce off the 710, Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. until they close. Bare Bones Barbecue on Instagram, BEARBONZBBQ. Find them on their website, barebonesbarbecue.com. I love you. Check them out.
So take a letter, Maria. Address it to my wife. Say I won't be coming home. Gotta start a new life. We'll take a letter, Maria. Address it to my wife. Send a copy to my lawyer. Gotta start a new life.
But they can't figure out how to distract you with a squirrel, like while all this shit is, it's like, that's exactly what they're doing. It's like, all this shit is distraction. Just like you said, like 10% of it is just like purely fucking true. And then they fill you with 90, allows them to dismiss the whole thing. And then they can just like hide in plain sight. And then this guy gets too hot and they're just like, all right, we got to get this dude out of here. Like, he blew it. So they're just like, who's the next in line? It's like,
well,
they killed
the character off.
Right.
So if you buy into my, you know, and that's the whole thing with like Ghislaine right now. You know, she just had a superseding indictment come down, which means that there was an indictment. Now this one's kind of trumping it. There's new charges involved. And so she gets rearranged and like the process starts all over again with these new charges. We still haven't seen that bitch anywhere. Like, does she even exist?
Jesus.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like, are these people real? Are they just like characters that they pull out of their ass whenever, like, you know, they need to distract you?
I would say that she's real, but the real question is she actually in jail? Or if she's in jail, what's jail?
Right. Do you know the whole story about her on Reddit, right?
No.
Okay. First, I just started recording us because we're talking like good shit right now.
Okay. So I was wondering, I was like, where did this start? All right.
It was like 2 minutes ago.
Okay.
But that's like the thing that you were just saying. You can take my account. You can shadow ban me because I said I would kick somebody out of Camp Maria if they wore a mask. You can give me that slap on the wrist immediately, but you guys can't take down all of the child porn that exists. Like, that's bullshit. Complete bullshit. Okay. I think you'll find this interesting. Okay. So there's Reddit and you know, you get karma on Reddit. And so for every likes that you get and on your comments and your posts and all these different things, and like people can buy badges and give them to you and those mean something. So you get this numerical number, and the higher it is, the better your karma, the higher you're ranked, if you will. There was an account called Maxwell. I got to look it up here in a second.
Oh,
that
yeah,
was number of... eight.
Yeah.
On karma, and was in charge of poll and all these huge subreddits. Like, literally the most ironic, synchronistic way, her father is a major publisher, I think, in the United Kingdom. Like, one of the biggest publishing houses that existed.
Yep.
And now his daughter is one of the biggest publishers on Reddit.
Yeah.
And so this account goes dark after she allegedly, quote unquote, goes to jail.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, everyone. It's episode 64. Welcome. My friend here, Bobby Sausalito, and I just, we were shooting the shit, and I do this all the time, and I even said it to you in the beginning. I was like, we just need to start recording, because sometimes we talk about the good stuff.
Yeah.
So, hi, how are you?
Fantastic. Living the dream. Trying to exist in this police state. trying to stay alive in this never-ending hellscape, diaper-ridden hellscape.
At least you're in Florida, though.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's true.
How is it down there? Is the governor's great as everyone says he is?
Yeah. I mean, I think that he's objectively doing a better job than any other visible governor that I can see. And I think that Florida's a lot more free and open than other places. But it doesn't change the fact that when I walk into a grocery store, they want you with a diaper, that we've had the masks lifted for, what, six something months here. And the gym requires you to wear one from the elevator to the front desk, which is the dumbest shit I've ever seen in my life. And there's just still all of the businesses holding it, people accountable for it. It's like not even the government anymore, but the businesses are all afraid. It's a
corporate liability.
Yeah. So it's like, it's free, but it's not. And then I would certainly rather be here than anywhere else. Some countries are still closed. Like you can't even leave their country, like Australia, like Trinidad and Tobago. There's a variety of different countries where you just like can't leave. It's like, talk about being in prison.
The last time I was traveling over Christmas, I met someone and he was telling me, he was like, yeah, I was supposed to go to this wedding in February, March, or whatever it was of last year. And it got canceled because of, he was like, I decided not to go. Like I'd been reading on all this stuff about COVID, but mm-hmm. my friends that went are still there.
Yeah.
And it's what just a like, nightmare. Could you like really, you can't go to the US embassy? And like, I don't know. I guess I have this like fantastic imagination of like what it's like in the movies, you know, just run into the embassy and they send you home.
Yeah. Do you know the one thing that was really fucking me up the other day is I was thinking about, I was hanging out with this girl that I went on a cruise with last year in January, and we were all hanging out, and I was just, it kind of like brought me back to the cruise because it was like me and some of the people that were on the cruise. And I just started thinking to myself, like, if you have I'm sure you've been on a cruise before, in the inner cabins that don't have a window, it's like very dungeony, but you're just like, man, I'm just going to sleep in here and go whatever. And it doesn't matter. Your TV is a 12 by 12 inch TV, and that's the end of it. You go upstairs, you get food. There were people that were locked in those windowless cabins for months on those ships. Like any could have been you or me, just would have so happened to be luck of the draw. And it just, I think I would lose my shit. Like, I think I would have been shot. I think if I had like cheaped out and got a windowless cabin on one of those cruise ships, I would have like Shawshank Redemptioned out of there or some shit. I would have like dug through the tunnel. You know what I'm saying? Like I would have like outsmarted the guard and just like, I had a dream
got
that
in
the night.
Fucking lifeboat, you know, just like gone for it.
Yeah. Like spray paint the cameras and like jump off the edge. Cause like they were sitting, you know what I mean? Like I'm not even kidding around. Like it seems like literally like torture. Like, especially if forget being claustrophobic, it's like literally a windowless cell for months. And like, you can't leave. Like, that is the stuff of nightmares. Imagine if you were there alone. I went on this particular cruise. I got a media pass. So I was given a free cabin on this cruise and I went by myself. I was lucky because I had a porthole window, but even a porthole window, you're talking no fresh air for 2 months. That's prison.
Wait, they weren't allowed to go up to the top deck?
No. They were stuck in the room.
Oh, fuck me. Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. They were stuck in their room. Like, literally.
That's like fucking solitary confinement. Oh, my gosh. Yes. I thought you were just talking about, like, just staying in there and having to live in that room.
No.
Holy hell.
No, you didn't leave
God
the room.
Goddamn, I would be Shawshank Redemptioning out of that.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, my God. Saying. No.
That happened to American citizens on cruise ships for months. Yeah, and I was like, and it's like, dude, it's just like the degree of insane. And like, and then you think about let's go aside from the cruise ship and make it more of an everyday person. Like, think about being like like a 16-year-old boy or like a 16-year-old girl or like the girl you were dating or like the one that you were talking, and then like you have all this like sexual angst and you're just like, cool.
I mean, they must be like masturbating all the time.
Dude, you'd go insane. You'd lose your shit, or like you miss the prom, you miss your high school graduation, or you're an athlete. Like, talk about a prison sentence. There's so many people like, I can't even, when I get lost
it's
in that.
It's robbing the most out of children, for sure. I was thinking about that the other day, that kids will never have the experience like we did. You know, like, we kind of came into our teenage years into the technology industry, but like, our parents weren't handing us cell phones or iPads or things like that. They were like, hi, go play until the lights turn on or whatever. I just wanted to add, I was about to say that I had a bad cruise ship story until I just realized what you were actually saying. But I went on a cruise ship in high school and it caught on fire on the way from one island to Jamaica. And it was 180 room fire.
No.
So I was in an interior room because the people I was with were cheap. I wasn't with my mom or my parents. And so it was wild though. Bush was president. And there were rumors at one time that they thought terrorism would be involved. So, like, the FBI was sent down there. And they're, like, we got escorted out of our rooms. And, like, we were literally about to get on the lifeboats and, like, get off. But we ended up just, like, having to stay in certain places while they put it out. It was wild. So, I'm actually not a big cruise ship fan anymore after that. Imagine that.
Yeah.
But, I think I would be suing, you know, like, false imprisonment. That would be, Damn, that's crazy.
No, and they were there. There was like couples that were on. They were like on CNN, like interviewing from their room. Like, we've been on here for 40 something days, and like we're stuck in this room. You're talking like no exercise, no sunshine. Like,
you must definitely get pregnant.
Prison, yeah.
You run out of condoms. What if you were the idiot that like forgot to bring his phone charger?
Sure. No, like, that's what I'm saying. And like, I don't know the limitations, but like, I'm quite certain it was just like, you can't leave your room. How could they let you leave your room? Like, you can't.
Right. Let's just be happy that we were on dry land.
I know. I remember I went to Home Depot like every day. I was buying rocks and I bought a tree, a bush. I was doing all types of home, I was painting and shit. I was very confident that there was going to be a short-term end. Like, cause like Donnie was on TV and he's like, man, we'll be done by Easter or whatever. And I was like, we're going to be good. And I was like, let's just use this 90 days to like lean in and like listen to some pods and watch Tiger King and like plant a palm tree and like get some flowers and shit. And we'll be good by summer and we'll be back in the saddle. And here we are with our fucking thumb up our ass a year and a month later, and everything is hell and everybody and like everything is garbage.
Everything is garbage. Yeah. So that was one of my questions for you. What the fuck do you think is going on right now in the midst of Donnie, Biden?
Well,
the whole world's a stage.
I did a live stream yesterday where I basically was like, Donnie is not the president. He's not the shadow, super secret underground president. He's not living in a pineapple under the sea with Pompeo, like communicating with Starlink and like telling and running the U.S. government from a pineapple under the sea.
From a pineapple in Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah. I mean, he's not on a Black Hawk. Like, he's not going to rappel off of a Black Hawk with Pompeo and land inside the Vatican like
fireworks.
Owned.
Fireworks.
Yeah. Like, that's not going to occur. And like, I kept saying, I was like, he's on the ninth hole. Like, he's trying to shoot par. Like, he's trying to putt this one in for par. Like, he's chilling. Like, he's having, like, he ordered like a double chocolate cake and like, he's chilling.
He's so sleeping probably for the first time in 4 years. And let's be honest, he's not shadow governmenting the shadow government.
Yeah. The military is not in charge. Like, I don't know. Maybe it is. I'm not a fucking military expert.
Show me. Show me 1 ounce of proof. That's where I'm at.
It's like, I don't know. And like, I always say, I'm like, maybe, but like, probably not. But maybe, but like, probably not. I don't know. But probably not.
I'm at a place where I'm like, most likely not. But please prove me wrong. Please, please, please. It's the way I talk about JFK sometimes. Yeah. JFK Jr. Please let me be wrong about him. But he's most likely dead, y'all. But maybe he was in witness protection, and if he is, I'd be so happy about it. No, I've lost some friends lately. Like, like literally, literally people in our movement, though.
Oh, yeah.
Who can't take, like, they are, like, eyes on Q, eyes on Trump, like, the military, the military is the only way, Q said. It's just like, okay, guys, we'll, like,
yeah,
please show me the military. Please show me something.
That's the thing is, and I don't know if we were recording before or not, but, like I was saying, it's just, like, if we believe that there's this, like, faction of very evil people that have been running the world for hundreds of years and they have all of these things in control, it's like, how could we not think that they don't have controlled opposition, that they don't have distractions, like they don't have plants, that they don't have things to run you off the trail? We're all just on here on Instagram foiling this 500-year plan. Like, meanwhile, they're just like,
we did it.
Yeah. They're like, just buy Bitcoin, bro. Like, buy Bitcoin. This will foil their plans. I'm like, are you out of your fucking mind? Like, no.
Share memes and buy Bitcoin.
Yeah, they're just like, Dogecoin, bro. Like, everybody's going to be buying with Doge. I'm like, no. Like, fucking no.
Dogecoin has no white paper. It's essentially a fake coin.
They're all fake. It's like, I don't know.
But I mean, then we get into the whole conversation of, like, money is fake. Like, we all believe that this $100 bill means $100.
But that's more of an existential question, because it's fake. It's fake in the sense that, yeah, it's fake, but it's not fake in the sense that you need to pay your taxes with it, and if you don't, you go to prison. So, like, yeah, it's fake, but, like, it's also not, because it's backed by the power and might of the U.S. government and the legal structure in which we all consider ourselves to be citizens. So it is very real in that sense. So, like, yeah, it's a piece of paper, but it's also a promissory note. It's like, I don't know. Whereas, like, Bitcoin is like a string of invisible numbers in a pineapple under the sea. And, like, one day they could be like, Janet Yellen could be like, yo, this shit's illegal. And boom, you're done. And that's that. And you're toasted. What is it? What are you going to do with it? You're going to eat it. You're going to put it on your head. You can't. It's gone. It's liquid. It's toast. So I don't want to make this about Bitcoin, because people freak out and, like, people are like, you don't
I'm
get
surprised
it,
really by this response. I don't mean that in any sort of, like, positive or negative way. I guess I thought, with you being this kind of, like, savvy internet guy, that, like, you'd be into the Bitcoin.
I am a savvy internet guy, and I remember, thank you, and I remember when I first heard about it. But then I was like, I literally was just like, I'm gonna be left holding the bag. Like, how do I value this? Like, what is the value? Because when I look at a stock in the stock market, I think about, this is a balance sheet. This has assets. This has IP. This has buildings. This has employees. This has all these moving parts. I can see the revenue. I can see the expenses. I can see the net operating income, the invest. Like, I can see all of these things. How many shares are outstanding? I can see it in the physical world and people interacting and accumulating earnings and paying earnings out. Whereas, like, how do you determine the value of a Bitcoin? You don't. It's just like, what's the price right now based on who's the greater fool that will buy it? It's like, there is no measurable substantive value. It's like rolling the dice. So, you know, and like any, I'm sure the Bitcoin, the hodlers will have lots of opinions on this, but I listen to a lot of, I listen to a lot of economic podcasts. I've listened to Max Kaiser. I've listened to Peter Schiff. I've done a lot of research. I've invested heavily in the stock market. And I just understand that, like, if you're buying a business, if you're buying a share of a business, then you can look at what the business would be worth. What's a share of a Bitcoin? What's a Bitcoin worth? What's it worth in 10 years? What is it? The reality is that it's nothing. And it's kind of like buying Southwest Airlines points, except it's even worse than Southwest Airlines points, because, like, Southwest Airlines is a publicly traded company where I could see whether or not they're going to go out of business soon based on their balance sheet. I can see their employees, their assets, their, you know what I mean? So I don't know. It's a long rabbit hole, but it's just, I think we're going to be left holding the bag in that respect.
I think we are holding the bag.
Well, in dollars or in?
Oh, well, I guess I was taking an overarching approach to that. I'm sorry. I think we're holding the bag in reference. I guess I was writing a note real quick, and the stuff we were just talking about politically, like those of us who keep waiting. But yeah, the Bitcoin discussion is really interesting. I play a little with some, like, alts here and there. But again, like, even those are just kind of luck and chance at times. And it's all about perception is reality in that respect.
Yes.
And your perception is defining millions and millions and millions of dollars. I love the, like, money laundering of it. Like, that's so intriguing to me. Like, I love watching, like, the whales move money back and forth and just wondering, like, what the fuck is going on back there.
The reality of it is that, like, as everybody looks at it as this way that we can, like, beat the big financial guys, it's like, oh, you don't think that they know that too? That
you don't think they made millions off of it when they bought it at like point fraction of a share?
Mm-hmm. Plus, I mean, I've seen some studies that talk about how like Bitcoin is very centralized, and like 60% of the Bitcoins are owned by like a select number of whales that can very, very objectively manipulate the price. And it's like, it's the same game. It's the same game. You had this regulated game that albeit has its flaws, but like, at least it was a little bit more transparent. It had all these rules that were built up over, you know, decades and decades and decades of time. Now you're going back into the Wild Wild West and people think they're fighting the big guys with that. It's like all the illicit materials would just go through there, and that hurts the population in lots of ways. It's like, you want to be mad about all of these bad things that happen in the world? Well, they're transacting in Bitcoin. So as you're fighting the power, you're actually also supporting the evil indirectly. And it's like, this is a very hot topic because the easiest way to dismiss it is like, oh, boomer, you don't get it. And it's like, I'm not a boomer, but people just think of it like you're too stupid to understand. So it's kind of like, it's almost like arguing about the juice, because it's like, well, you're not a doctor. And it's like, no, I'm not a doctor. So you're just going to negate the remainder of my points and all of my research because I'm not a doctor. The same thing goes with Bitcoin. It's like, well, you don't understand. So it's just like the debate always ends up in a stalemate where only time will tell. And it's kind of unfortunate.
Right. I mean, the mark of an educated man is, you know, being able to entertain a thought other than his own. So, you know, you're at a level of enlightenment, I think you get to at some point when you can like objectively look at something one way and you can see, I mean, you can see what the benefit is. I mean, if we look at it at a commodity that has a, like, it's going to end at some point, there's going to be no more Bitcoin. And if I acquire some, perhaps it's going to continue to go in value the way that they predict when, you know, you can't purchase it or mine it, I guess is what I should say anymore. Mm-hmm. So you can look at it one way, and then you can look at it the way that people obsess about it. But if you can't do more than what your own, then you're not quite as woke as you think you might be.
Yeah. I just like, it's like in terms of, I think very carefully about how I invest my money, because even 5 years ago when I had less money than I had now, it's like, I was just talking with my friend about this tonight. It's like, I would buy a watch and be like, the watch is $250. Like, I can afford the watch. It's not a big deal. You know, who cares? But now when I certainly have way more money than I had 5 years ago, I'm like, do I need this watch? I have another watch. And it's like, would I rather just buy a $5,000 watch 5 years from now, or maybe never, or maybe when I have $5 million? It's like, do I even need this watch? It's like, that's $350 or $450 closer to a cash flowing asset that's going to pay me dividends for life. Like, I'm going to buy this fucking watch when I could buy an asset, especially a cash flowing asset. So I think about, like, what percentage of my income am I going to put in this Bitcoin? It spits out no cash. I have no way of knowing when it's going to go up or down. I can't hold it in my hand. I can't do anything with it. I can't manipulate its value. All I can do is just sit and wait and stare and pretend and hope. Whereas, like, if I buy a cash flowing asset, or I buy something that I can influence its value, I can make a movement, because I'm not afraid of working hard and I'm not afraid of being patient. But with Bitcoin, it's like, I can't work hard. All I can do is be patient, and there's no guarantee that that patience will pay off, and it may be unlikely that it even will. Whereas, like, I could buy a traditional stock in a big company that objectively is going to probably be around, like Verizon, and I'll probably be fine. And on top of that, it pays a dividend. I can measure the dividend. I see it for, you know, a decade. So I'm like very careful about how I put my money around. And it's like, if I'm not going to buy a watch that I could hold in my hand and enjoy, I'm certainly not going to be buying any Bitcoin right now, you know?
I think that's a very, very good point. A very good point, especially for people who get wrapped up in like the GameStop of it all, mm-hmm. and the AMC of it all, and the Bitcoin and that type of the Dogecoin, as we were just talking about. You know, it's very fantastic to invest in things and the thought of making money. I think it's interesting. I think people buy Bitcoin, people buy altcoins and all these different things. And then it's like you wake up the next day and you look at your portfolio as if expecting that it should have exponentially changed overnight.
Yeah.
You know, whole to the moon of it all. And I wish people would take a more thoughtful approach like you and, you know, think about investing in your future for
yes.
lack of a dumb worst term at this point, but like my goal is to be a slumlord. I don't really mean it like that, but to own I want to own a lot of real estate and be a landlord.
Slumlord.
I just like to call myself a slumlord. But I think some of those things just seem so far off for so long in your 20s. It's just like something you don't understand and you put off and you put off. Now sometimes I think like, what if I had taken the money I had to get for student loans and like you said, like made a cash producing asset at the time and like lived in a shittier apartment than I did. Like hindsight truly is 2020. But yeah. I definitely, I didn't mean to stop or I just wanted to agree with like the stuff of it all. Like I have always had champagne taste on like a Natty Light budget. And now I'm at the point where I can buy myself nice things. And I'm just like, well, I don't know. I thought I was going to get here and it was going to be so great. And now I'm like, well, you made this much money this month and this is the most money you've ever made, but it doesn't feel good. You still need to make more. I don't know.
I'm real big on the way that I've been thinking about money is I always thought it was like how much you make in a year or like how much you've accumulated. And what I've realized is that, and I think everybody ultimately gets to this point where it's just like true wealth is income. It's true wealth is cash flow. Is like if I got hit by a bus tomorrow, would my estate produce any cash by the end of 30 days? And if so, how much would it be? Because the way that I look at it is like, all right, how much money do I have to have in order for it to be like, all right, I could never work again a day in my life? And it's like, if you could accumulate monthly cash flow that hits an X number, let's say it's maybe it's $10,000 a month, maybe it's $20,000 a month, maybe it's $50,000 a month, whatever it is. Okay, $50,000 a month. All right, you're making $600,000 a year. It's like, you could pretty much never work again for the rest of your life and make $600,000 a year and like live luxuriously. Like you could drive a luxury car, you could have a multi-million dollar house, you could have everything you want, go on vacations, you couldn't have a jet, but like you'd be pretty good. And you could literally do nothing for the rest of your life. That's the type of thing that I think cash flow creates. It's like winning the lottery is like, even if you make $10 million, the next day you have 900, you know, 9,999,000 and whatever. And it's just like, it starts to go down.
You're just watching it go down.
Yeah. It's the replenishment. It's the cash flow that is like the true game. And it's like, if you can get to a point where your cash makes cash and that cash makes cash, then like, you can create generational wealth that like in theory never dies. It's like if you could get $10 million in a bunch of dividend paying stocks, even just US based dividend paying stocks, you can make 5 points to 7 points a year on just dividends. And that's it. And now you're done. So then it's like, then your mind is free for all things. You could do yoga and eat raspberries and lay in the sun. Like you could do anything. So that's how I think about it now is I'm just like, pinnacle of freedom, never work ever. And for the last like 6 years and like for the last 13 years I've been building, but for the last 5 years, 6 years, I've understood the concept of cash flow. And in the last 24 months, I've really leaned into it where I'm just like, if I could get my monthly cash flow up to X, then I could just literally do whatever I want ever. And I'm not there in the sense that I'm like living rich, but I'm there in the sense that like I Bobby Sausalito all day. I like yell funny things into my phone.
I want to do that. I want to be you. Yeah. I don't want to LARP anymore.
Yeah.
No, but that's awesome. Keep going. Like you get to Bobby Sausalito all day. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. And like, I talk with you on a pod. I turned on the Joe Biden thing and I live streamed earlier and like yelled at my phone. People buy merch in my store. I make stupid videos and shit. And then I get new social interactions and I build relationships with people because they just think my shit's funny. It's like, I made a friend with you. Like the guy I was just with today, like this guy's a really smart dude. And like, I became friends with him because of the account. It's like, I'm like peak sauce right now. And I'm like, okay, if my monthly income is X, if I can figure out in the next 24 months to get that to 3X that, well, then I could have a pool and I could have maybe a more luxurious luxury car and maybe I could fly first class every time or whatever. And it's like, I understand that the accumulation of cash flow is the key to unlocking that those higher tiers of freedom. Cause I don't want to just like work like that. I want to work in the sense that my operation works for itself. like I used to think I wanted to run a 50,000 person company and be the CEO. I don't want to do that. Like I don't envy people that have 193 employees. That seems sick, and I have a lot of appreciation for that. But you're like putting out fires. I love my shit. It's just me. I'm here in the crib. The dog's laying on the ground. He farts every once in a while. I yell in my phone and I do whatever I want. It's like, that's fucking lit. So it's like, how do I just make more per month cash flow wise by making the right strategic investments? So I'm like, fuck that watch. Fuck that new pair of shoes. I don't need to fly first class. You know, I don't need a new X. And I just know that all those things will accumulate. And like things like Bitcoin and all these other coins, it's like, to me, they don't represent guaranteed quantifiable increases in value. So I'm just like, I'm not going to spare a dollar. I'm not going to spare a square. Like, I'm not going to take one piece out and not put it towards the greater picture. So that's how I think about it. So I look at those things. I'm like, nah, that's gambling. That's fun. But if I could buy Verizon stock with that same $1,000, I'll make 5% a year in dividend payments on that $1,000 for the rest of my life. And it's like, that's real shit. That's real money. And it's there. You can have that at any time. So that's how I think about it now.
I think you're completely right. I think that's at least where I'm going with this, of being Maria and then like bringing Maria into real life. Because again, like if I can be my crazy, like I think what's so wonderful is like you and I get to take, like, at least for me, like the part that I've kind of kept hidden for like the longest time and like just been my weird self about, and if I can take that and just be myself and like people like that, and then I can monetize that, and then I can just like be myself and research and be passionate, and like, you know, you and I get on here and like try to fucking shake shit up and like change a little thing, like holy hell, that's exactly what like life is about.
Yeah.
And so many just like weird societal things that I don't want to feel guilty about things anymore, you know, like, mm-hmm. And I completely agree with you. And like, I used to think that I wanted to be this like boss bitch, and I still am a boss bitch, but like this major like CEO type of like, mm-hmm. you know, have an empire. And I still want to have an empire, but not one that I really have to interact with on like a daily basis.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You know, because like I want to be like on my computer in Mexico, you know, planning the next Camp Maria instead of like behind a desk litigating. Even though litigating is so much fun, it's my mentality these days is like, I want to work smarter, not harder.
Yes.
It's the stress is killer. The life is too short, you know? Life is too short to be a fucking cog in the machine, mm-hmm. and for you to loosh your whole life away. Like, I keep saying this to people. Can you believe that we allowed them to convince us that we had to work for 5 days just to get 2 days off by permission?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the fuck? That's like, why does nobody talk? Like, we're always like, oh, I wish we had a 4 day week. Well, like, why don't you have one then?
I think that here's the thing. I agree with you. But what I think that a lot of people miss is the one word that you said in there is they. Where I think the reality of it is that you can do anything. You could check out. You could work 4 days a week. You could go to Costa Rica and surf and live in a bungalow.
You could live in your van and drive across America and like work from your computer. There is no rule book.
Exactly.
We all perceive that there is a rule book.
Correct. Which is why which is why I look at these things as trappings, mental trappings, more so than I look at them as things that satisfy a need. That's why I look at the watch and I'm like, yeah, I want a watch, but like, this is not going to advance me to where I want to advance. I want things that cost money, like a pool. Right. But like, but
you
it's
want
like
an experience now. It becomes less about the goods. No,
I
have like designer. I just love designer shit. So I'm like, I'm going to buy myself this. When I get to this point, like I usually get myself like a gift on my like work anniversary. Mm-hmm. And for like the last 2 years, it just like wasn't important to me, like kind of skipped it, like didn't even make it a thing. Whereas like the last 5 years, it had been like my fun little thing by myself. Ooh, shit.
It was the globalist.
Dropped my bowl. my bad. But yeah, I go from like everything is about an experience for me these days. So like, I don't like to give too many gifts anymore. I would rather take you out to dinner on your birthday and like pay for the whole thing and like make something of it. Because like I go on Christmas trips by myself for the last 2 years because I love my family. I spend so much time with my family, but I'm tired of getting together and giving each other gifts that we don't want and like spending money and like trying to like make up. Like, what does he want? I don't know. I got to spend this amount. Like, I guess it just like weird stuff that like nobody really wants and nobody talks about it. And it's just so silly. So like, I'd rather go on my own trip and then give you an experience later.
Yeah. My parents and I give them a lot of credit because it's like my parents are not one of those, they're not those parents that are like eternally set in their ways and what it is what it is. They have very flexible minds as it relates to, you know, kind of moving with the times. And I got to give them a lot of credit. You know, a couple years back, I said to him, like, I don't care about Christmas presents. Like, let's just not buy them. And like we buy, it's like we get a flowers or like, you know, something small. And like my mom still wants to give me something. So she'll give me like a, you know, like a pot holder or something stupid. But it's like we like had a conversation where it's like, let's just not. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just literally not. And I give them a lot of credit because they've allowed it to be that way. And it's like, no, I really don't care. And it's like this year, I made my parents dinner for Christmas. My mom has cooked dinner for me every Christmas my entire life, or my aunt or whatever. But it was like my mom was always involved in some capacity. So I was like, I'm going to cook Christmas dinner and it's at my house. And like the amount of time and effort and love and all the things that I did that day to me were far more valuable than me jumping on Amazon 2 weeks before Christmas and firing off some arbitrary number of value, 250 for mom and 250 for dad. It's like, who gives a shit? Yet in actuality, it was like this whole thing that I really had to do. And the fact that they didn't give me anything, I didn't even care. Like it didn't even matter. And it's like those realizations in life, it's good to have people around you that can kind of mold to those, because I do think it makes life a lot more rich because you're just not wasting time on things that are ultimately just trapping you into nothing. It's like if we can just change our mindset about life, it opens up a new level that we can unlock, and that's like one of many.
I love that so much. I love the higher tiers of freedom. I wrote that down earlier, like unlocking those higher tiers of freedom.
Yeah,
because I'm 33. I think you're around the same age.
I just turned 34 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Oh, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you so much.
But I can't imagine working how long our parents have, and you know, sometimes not having enough money to, you know, having the luxury of a vacation. So just literally working and working for years and years.
Yeah.
It's just wild.
Yeah. That's why, like, I'm so big on the other day I was telling my friend, I was like, I'm going to get a house on the beach. That's what I'm going to do. Okay. Here's how I'm going to do it. I'm like, all right, here's my local city. Here's the most expensive house on the beach. It's $18 million. How much money is it a year in taxes? How much money do they have put down on the mortgage? You could literally go on Zillow and like, see what's the monthly payment on this house.
Right.
And I basically figured that like, in order to have an $18 million house, you have to make something along the lines of like, I think it was like $220,000 a month. Or $280,000, something like that. And I was like, okay, here's how much I generate in a month, right? And here's how much my passive income streams and my investments generate in a month. Here's my total net worth. Like, how much could I put on this now? And then like, what can I do from X dollars per month to $220,000 a month? Because then I have the most expensive house on the beach. And even though that's not the pinnacle, it just helps you kind of like, it's like, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. It's like you just try to break it down into these individual pieces. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, all right, well, there's houses on the beach that aren't $18 million. There's a house on the beach that's $5 million. If I go 10 miles north, there's a house on the beach that's $4.6 million. Okay, how much is down on that? It's like, then it becomes like, well, if I could create the passive cash flow that could get me $74,000 a month, it's like, how many assets do I have now that yield me X? then what would I have to do to get to 74? And it's like, it becomes a more achievable goal where it's not like, I'm going to get a house on the beach and I'm going to imagine it. And it's, I'm going to think of this the secret, and I'm going to manifest it into existence. There's going to be a check in my mailbox. It's like, literally, how do I take quantifiable steps and investments from here till then, where I'm building up assets that cash flow and building an indefensible fortress that like could lead me to that place. And then on top of all that, how much time will it take? I asked my friend the other day, because him and I talk about, you know, how much we have in stocks and what our net worth is. And like, we kind of, it's like a competition. And I was like, how long till you're worth $1 million? He's like, you know, however many years. And I'm like, well, I think I could map it to this many years. That's how many years I think it's going to take me to get there. And he's like, well, yeah, maybe it actually is more like, that seems reasonable plus this. And I'm like, yeah, like that's the way I'm trying to think about everything. I don't want to be like, fuck, I'm 47 and I got my house on the beach. Like, I'm trying, like, how do I do it when I'm 41? How do I do it when I'm 38? How do I do it when I'm 37? Is there a way there? And if so, what do I got to do to get there? And it's like, it's one watch at a time, you know?
No, this is awesome. This is awesome advice. I did not know we were going to go down a money route, but I love it.
Yeah. I spend a lot of time thinking about it because I understand that it's the instrument to freedom. And I find myself enthralled by and captivated by its power. Because the thing is like the guy in the $18 million house or gal or whatever it is. I mean, I know it's a guy, but whatever. The point is, you sexist pig.
I'm not like that. You don't have okay. to say that kind of stuff with me.
Well, whatever. But like, it's just like, this dude's doing that. And at the end of the day, we all have the same 24 hours. And it's like, this is achievable. And this is just one city in one town in America on one street that I like. There's a guy in Miami Beach that has a house of the same size that's more than 18 million. So what is that guy doing? You know, he also has a $20 million yacht. What is he? Like, so it's like, even the $18 million house is just like, in theory, a small goal. When you really think about it,
right.
there's a house 10 miles down the beach that's the same size, that's 25 million. And it's like, well, I didn't do the calculation for that, which means that my top tier imagination is below even what's top tier within a 50 mile radius. So right. It's like, I already shot below the moon, you know? It's like, you'll never hit that level if you don't think in that way. So I'm just like, I look at a yacht go by and I'm like, this is just a man or just a woman. This is just a person that has managed to accumulate said wealth. There's got to be a way to do it.
How does he do it? If he can do it, I can do it.
Certainly. And it's not a degree or any of that shit. It's not.
And that's, I think, the part of the rat race that it's unfortunate that you have to play the game, make enough money to get to a place where then you can stop playing the game and just actually enjoy life.
Well,
and that's where I want to be.
That's where the cash flow comes in.
Right, because exactly.
It's not about the yacht. It's not about the house on the beach. And that won't create the happiness. It's just like the guy that owns that $18 million house, he's the founder and CEO of WeatherTech. That's a big ass company. They got ebbs and flows. The shipping price goes up. The gas price goes up. Oh, no car. Oh, electric car. Uber. I don't know. So it's like, this dude's navigating. So it's like, really, it's like passive investment cash flow. I could probably make $1 million a year and achieve a similar degree of happiness as the guy that makes $15 or $25 million a year because I don't have all of those stresses. Meanwhile, right. I'm able to do more to sustain my health. And maybe through that health and through that happiness, I'll reach that other level purely in and of itself. There's guys that write books that don't have a 1,000-person team that make millions of dollars a year. You know, so it's like there's more than one way to navigate your way up the mountain. So I used to think it was this big machine, and it's like, could it just be you being ill and like building cash flow streams and being a creative, interesting person that's using video, voice, and media to have a macro impact on the planet, a la Tony Robbins? And it's like, that's real shit. That's a feasible, attainable goal, in my opinion.
Exactly. One thing I wanted to say in relation to your comment about the secret and like waiting for that $18 million check to mm-hmm. appear on your doorstep, you know, publisher's clearinghouse style because you've manifested it all night long.
Yeah.
The point is like that isn't the secret. The secret is exactly what you are doing. You mm-hmm. are manifesting your destiny. You are manifesting exactly the way The Secret talks about. You've got it in mind. You're thinking about it. You're imagining yourself in that $18 million house, and you're doing what it takes to get to that point. I think the problem with The Secret, and especially that movie, it's just like, they're all just like, and I manifested it.
Yeah, right.
And it was there. And I, you know.
Yeah.
And so it was. And like, that's great. But like, there's still like grit and grind. And like, if you're not going to do it, like, you're not going to get anything out of life.
Yeah.
You can sit around and again, keep waiting on this red pilled white knight to like come in and save you in some way. Or you can pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and figure the fuck out what Bobby Sausalito is talking about. Obviously, I'm not quite there yet either. So hopefully you'll be coming to Camp Maria and you can do something on this for the masses. Like what you were saying, like having this like macro impact on the world just based on your personality. Like, mm-hmm. so I keep thinking about this thing I want to plan. It's like all of us coming together and like 1,000 people there and like 10,000 people or more watching, like, holy shit, Bobby, like, how did we get here? But like,
yeah,
the butterfly effect of that is so cool and wild.
Yep. It's about understanding that what you have the capacity to produce builds over time by it being saved and then broadcast. So the fact that we're recording this and it can exist for eternity and then it can multiply and it can expand across continents is like, it's like the pinnacle of media. It's the pinnacle of information. So it's like, we have this profound impact and there's a million ways to get there. It's just that, where do you have an advantage and what do you feel has purpose beyond money? Like I wanted to build a business so that I could build the money to take care of myself. And I always wanted that. And I still want that, but it didn't have purpose. It only had self-fulfilling purpose and small localized purpose. I want to build websites to help these small businesses. And I want to employ, I used to think like, I want to employ all these people and have all these employees have a rich life. And I'll never forget. One of my buddies was like, why? And I was like, I don't know. Could, you know, build a cool team and the employees. He's like, no, your employees don't care about you. He's like, they don't give a shit about you. And it was like, what I wanted was localized. It wasn't indelible purpose. And that's what's been so fun about what I'm doing now is that I do feel that it has purpose. It's purpose driven. And thus, and for that reason specifically, it could be eternal in the sense that I wouldn't lose interest in it because it's a purpose driven process that also I believe can connect me to the financial means that I feel are necessary in order for me to live the most fulfilling life or happiest life or whatever it is.
Right. I think some of the thing that we've both kind of been dancing around, and I wanted to say this earlier, but I forgot. I think a lot of this plays into that thing you and I said in the beginning, like we both imagined ourselves as a CEO one day.
Mm-hmm.
And like, just from having, like, because you think of like an entrepreneur and like a CEO, I think kind of goes hand in hand in that when you're young.
Yes.
And you know that they all make a bunch of money. And so I think that that's kind of like, oh, I want the $18 million house. Like, I'm going to have to be the CEO of a company because how else do you do that?
Exactly.
But then exactly what you're saying, you actually start breaking things down. How do I get to the $18 million house? What's the mortgage on this? Mm-hmm. Obviously I'm not going to be paying something $18 million out of pocket. And you go into the cash flow, like this is an incredible conversation, I think, because that's how you get to the place that like we all kind of grew up with this CEO mindset. So I think that's where like you're, thought that you like wanted to create this company and take care of your people. It's like we all, it's like that CEO mentality essentially that we've been talking about, when in reality,
yeah,
I just want to be my own CEO and do my own fucking thing, which, you know,
right,
we're navigating through. That's what I think, to follow up on something you said, like this podcast will live in infamy, you know, like it will be online forever. Sometimes mm-hmm. I think about like future kids one day, like going back and listening to this stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, let that influence the impact of the words that you choose and what you put there. And that's what I think about all the time is like, I was saying on a live stream earlier, I was like, if we all understood the great significance of each individual thought that we have throughout the day, we would change the way that we think. If we understood that all of the greatest things that you've ever done in your entire life have originated as a single thought in the shower, walking the dog, driving to work, whatever it is, in a dream, on the couch, it doesn't matter. All of the greatest things that you've ever done have originated first as a thought. And it's like, that's the same thought as like, should I order a pizza or should I order a chef salad? Should I go to this party? Should I go to sleep? Should I wake up early tomorrow and go to the gym or should I whatever? These individual thoughts, which there are thousands and thousands that pass through our mind each day, if we can understand the severity of each of those thoughts, and then even more impactful than them, the words that we choose to speak, not only that we hear, but then become actual, real, tangible things in the world, especially when it's recorded. It's recorded. It's a vibration. It broadcasts around. It changes the way one person thinks. It's kind of like when you really think about the world, and I mentioned this on this other live stream today. It's like, have you ever gone to like a party or made a phone call or gone to a bar or gone to a place or made a very small, seemingly insignificant decision that changed the rest of your life? Like you met a person and then you marry that person, or you met a person that became your best friend or whatever. It's like it's like a single decision, a single thought changed the course of your life forever. And it's just like, all of those things are just individual thoughts and all of those things are just individual words. So if we just are more cognizant of each individual thought and try not to waste them, same with words, we can really move ourselves on that trajectory at a more expedient clip, because we don't want to squander the sentences that we've got and the time that we have to think.
I think all of that incredible thoughts, and then you add that to that whole kind of like Bishop Larry Gators, you know, the power of words, the power of spelling, you know, that you kind of cast spells in a way when you say certain things, but then even taking that to like back to the manifestation of it all and thinking about the way you talk to yourself and the way that you think and how that impacts you and becoming emotions instead of just feeling emotions. But even the advice that you were just saying, like be cognizant of your thoughts, be cognizant, especially in light of everything that we're saying, like, yeah, you want that $18 million check to show up in your mailbox. Like you have to have extremely positive thoughts. You need to be very selective about what you think and you say and how you say it and how you speak to yourself. Like it's all of this is so much more interconnected than I think we all realize or give credit to.
Yeah. I was on the Real AF podcast with Andy Frisella, and he's like a business magnate. The guy's extremely successful, thought leader, driven. And one of the things he talks about is he's just like, you have to figure out how to dominate your inner bitch voice. And David Goggins talks about this as well. He's just like, I'm still the fat shit that I was. I just have to dominate that bitch every morning when I wake up. I go in the kitchen and I smell bacon and eggs and I'm like, no, fatty, like I'm about to hit the treadmill. Like you have to dominate that inner bitch voice. That's what Andy calls it, every day with each individual challenge, with all the stuff. And it's like we beat ourselves up sometimes because we're not perfect. But if we can just be more cognizant of the fact that some battles we're losing and some battles we're winning, as long as we can change that ratio over time, if we could only understand that the speed in which we change that ratio to where we're winning the vast majority of the time or all the time, the quicker we can move towards the things that will be the greatest version of ourselves or the greatest version of our life. It's like that domination of that bitch voice leads us there. And it's like, and to second that, you mentioned that $18 million check. The first thing that came to my mind is like, how am I going to get this $18 million check generating cash flow so that I can get more than the 18 million? Like literally as soon as you said that. And that's because I've trained my mind to such a degree that I'm like, fuck cash. I hate cash. I want no cash. I want nothing. All I want is flow. I want that all invested. Like if somebody wants to buy my cash flow now, I'm like, you don't have to pay me 10 times what it's worth, because I don't want to go look for more cash flow. I want to keep my cash flow and acquire more cash flow. If I sell it, then I just have this cash and I got to figure out how to get it to make more. I don't want to sell cash flow. I certainly don't want cash.
Fascinating. all so fascinating. Circling way back around to the stock of it all, though, what is your opinion on what happened with GameStop? What's continuing to happen with GameStop?
I think that GameStop is being is, you know, I actually haven't looked at it. I think that GameStop is an objectively out of touch with the current flow of things business. A lot of these video games are not sold in that way. It's kind of like there being a horse and buggy business traded on the stock market. It's right. Like we all know that shit's done. Could they turn it around with this influx of cash? Sure. They could have sold a lot of their stock and they could have really recapitalized and maybe turned it around. But any business that depends on physical locations and selling hard video games is insane. Like, they would have to really radically transform that business model. So when I think about it as a business itself, I think that the price is it's meme stock. It's casino mentality. It's liquid cash printed into existence, and everybody's spending that stimmy money on shit.
That's stimmy.
And they're spending it on shit that they don't understand, and they're investing in a business that is objectively not of great value. And I think that it's just a game. I think that people are just gaming. It's just like Bitcoin in a lot of ways. Like, it's just a game. It's everyone's at the casino and everyone's playing. Everyone's having fun. And I don't invest in it, but like, I had a buddy that made a few thousand bucks, and there's going to be a lot of people that end up losing their ass. But my investment strategy is not just the right businesses, but it's also about how I invest my time. And I think a lot about time. It's like something that I really spend a lot of time thinking about is like, where will I choose to invest my time, my thought time? And I looked at that and I'm like, nope, not worth it. Too much anxiety. Like, let me buy a dividend yielding stock. Let me buy an internet asset that's going to cash flow. So like, I looked at it and I was like, nope, not for me. And I just moved on, and I compartmentalized those things out of my mind because I don't want to get distracted from the bigger picture. So I don't know it with great depth, but that's kind of my analysis.
Well, I guess, you know, in the meme stock of it all, I think that what is so interesting that came out of it, and naturally nobody is continuing to talk about because that's how things go and the relevant or revealing of all of this, but the people finally realized their collective bargaining power, you know, and they fucked with it a little bit because it was a meme stock, realizing then that the stock market, while it is, you know, it is what it is and it's a great thing to invest in at times, it's a completely manipulated game in and of itself that's still rigged. And it was just such an interesting response, especially you could tell the Biden administration was involved, that, you know, I saw a video that like really everything that came out of Robinhood was because essentially like Robinhood would go insolvent if they had continued to allow those trades. And the numbers had continued to go up.
Yep.
What I, in the midst of all of it, when it was all breaking, like I was kind of like reporting on it, talking about, you know, that this is going to change the game of the stock market, that like the people are realizing what they could do and how they can, you know, do the same thing that Wall Street does to us. Mm-hmm. But in the natural 24-hour news cycle of things, like nobody's talking about that anymore. And nobody will ask the SEC to hold any of these people accountable or hold the SEC accountable in and of itself, because we can't fucking pay attention to something longer than, you know, 2 seconds right. about it.
Well, it illustrates a greater, I think it illustrates a greater kind of perspective on life that I think is important to remember, which is that it's like, we have to remember that we can only control what we can control. And if we say like the game is rigged, they got it in the bag, whatever, so I'm not going to play, it's like you miss out on all those gains. And I remember thinking that way about the stock market for the longest time. And like, yeah, in a lot of ways it is rigged. And yeah, there's a lot of people that are using hydraulic drills when I'm using a hammer that I whittled out of a tree that under my, as it relates to how I'm managing the stocks. However, my hammer won't be whittled forever. I'll eventually be able to go buy a metal one from Home Depot. And then eventually I'll be able to go buy a stainless steel one. And then eventually I'll be able to go buy one that's electric or that's a little bit lighter. I can swing it faster. And then eventually I'll be able to grab two hammers or hire someone to help me. It's like, if we can just understand that, like, the stock market, much like life, is a game. And we can either bury our heads in the sand and not play and fight the power and go in guns blazing, or we can understand that there is a way to navigate this, and there's a way that you can find success in these otherwise manipulated markets by just figuring out how you can navigate. And it's like if you were in a race and it was a race for speed, and somebody's got a speed boat and somebody's got a yacht and somebody's got a canoe, it's just like, yeah, you're probably going to lose, but you may not come in last if you can figure out a way to work harder than the other guy with the canoe, because you're not the only one. And everyone ultimately always starts there. So it's just like, how can I navigate my way through this game? I remember when I first started buying stocks, I was like, fuck, like, you know how long it's going to take me to get $10,000 in here? Like, I just bought $500 worth of stock. Oh, I bought $600 worth of stock. Look at me. And then I was like, wow, I have $10,000 in here. Like, but I don't have $25,000. Like, how long is it going to take me to get 25? And then it's like, well, how long is it going to be till I have 50? And then it's like, well, how long will it be till I have six figures? Imagine six figures. And then it's like, well, how long is it going to be till I have 200,000? And then, like, it's just like the winds of time. It's like you just keep coasting and you just keep improving your ship and streamlining your operation and figuring out your way to navigate through this game. And the thing is that, like what I was saying to you before about like the whole like being banned and being hidden, it's like I choose my battles and I try to figure out like, how can I just keep moving and how can I move forward at the most expeditious rate so that I can do it? If I have to not look over here or not look over here or not say this so that I can keep advancing forward and increasing my impact, then it's like all of these things are there, that mindset's still there, and I'm playing the game. And some people will be like, you're not, because they don't understand my long-term strategy. I don't expect them to. So all of us have to understand that, like, this is a game. Life is a game. Living on Earth is a game in much of the same way that the stock market is. And is it rigged? Yeah. But you could easily say, I'm a white American person living in the United States with two hands and two legs. And I could, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm intelligent. I have all my hair. It's like, there's so many things. So it's like, yeah, it's rigged in theory in the sense that, like, it's rigged for us here too. If I was born
on a multitude of levels.
Yeah.
You know?
But somebody in Nairobi can succeed far beyond us. How do they do that? They can. So it's like, this is just a game. And there's every reason for anybody on the spectrum to be like, I'm never going to do this. Yet somehow people from the worst of the worst with the worst of the worst garbage life ever succeed to unforetold amounts. And people that grow up in a nice, comfortable family with a white picket fence end up doing heroin under a bridge. It's just like, we're all in a game and we just have to control what we can control and keep getting better. And that's it.
I think the white boys or the white people that you're just talking about, though, I think that there's a little lack of struggle involved, though. You get comfortable in the game. You forget that it's a game and you kind of get entranced by it and then you don't do anything. Mm-hmm. And then you it's very interesting, like this kind of way that you approach the $18 million house. You're making it a game, and it's like, you know, you're Mario going through the different levels. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you got to get to level one and that's this, and level two is this. And I can see you compete against yourself a lot, but yeah. That's the way you got to do it, you know? And that's what I think, it's very easy for us to like get on our accounts. And that's just not just you and me. Do you need me to break for a second?
No, let me just let the dog in. Hold on one second.
Okay.
He's like scraping at the door when he doesn't.
No, you're good. Come in.
Okay.
I think it's really easy for not just you and I, but for all of us to like get on our accounts and like talk about 5D and like talk about ascension and vibrating higher, which, don't get me wrong, I do talk about those things, but like, we still have to live the 3D game. You know, like, I can vibe as, like, high as I fucking want, but, like, that's not going to pay my bills.
Yeah.
So, like, for me, it's, like, I'm having trouble being 5D, navigating the 3D world, but, like, you got to learn how to do it because, again, it's, like, that higher tiers of freedom thing that you talked about.
Yeah.
And it's all about getting to the certain level where you get to enjoy yourself finally, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and well, just getting to the point where, like, just understanding that you can map back the things that you identified that you didn't like and how you eliminated them. And you can map, and you can map back the things that you wanted to attain and how you were able to attain them. And it boosts the confidence where it's like, when I was building websites, I hated the client interaction, that, oh, I need it by Friday, or like people putting things on me, the stress of all that stuff. And I couldn't figure out how to escape that. And I was like looking and looking and looking. And it's like, if you wait till the opportunity comes to start preparing, it's too late. And it's like, I had been preparing for 13 years for this right now, indirectly. I didn't know what it would be, how I would get there, or what it would look like, but I was planning. I was reading, thinking, absorbing, watching podcasts, listening to people, listening to successful people, investing, always like fortifying my base at all times. And then when the opportunity presented itself for me to pursue this project, I was ready for it. And it's like, then that allowed me to eliminate the client work aspect of the client interaction aspect of my life. And it's like, I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I knew I wanted to do it. I knew that if an opportunity presented itself to do it, I would seize it and I would work relentlessly to attain it and get it so that that was out. So it's like, I knew it. I wanted it. I prepared for it. I built for it. Wasn't sure what it would be like, but was ready for it when the opportunity presented itself. And that's the whole thing, is like, if we can just make sure that we're always advancing and that something is always improving all the time, whether it's a little more money in your account or a little bit more information you absorbed or a little bit more, a better relationships that you have, or, you know, you paint the room in your house. And so now you're happy about the room. You plant a flower out front. You see the flowers every day. These little incremental differences prepare you for when that opportunity really strikes. And as long as you can see those successes looking back, it's like, it makes you more confidence to make big decisions going forward and take more risks, because you have all of these validating moments of success looking backwards. To me, that's been the greatest thing for me, is like, when I see myself do something right, it makes me way more confident about the risks I take going forward. My dad said to me one time, he's like, every single thing that you've ever said you were going to do, you've done. And it's pretty much worked. And like, you've had problems here and there and you've struggled through X, Y, and Z situation. But like, generally speaking, the things you really wanted, the things you really set out to get, you got all of them. So why is this decision any different? I was like hesitating about some, like I was about to pull the trigger on some investment or something. I'm like, oh man, I got to invest all this money. He's like, everything you've ever said that you were going to do has worked. So just do it. And figure out how you're going to navigate it once you make that decision. It's like, once you do that once, you got to do it faster and faster and like take more risks and see how quickly you could move through that game. And then it's just a game and it's fun. And like, that's the thing that I love about life so much, is like, I identify what I don't want, cut it out. Identify a thing that's good, magnify it. And it's like, I'm always just trying to figure out how to level up. And as long as I'm moving 1 inch a day, then it's all good. And then it's like, this is life. I'm living it right now. It's like, cool. I wish I had a pool, but I don't. I wish I had a Rolls Royce, but I don't. But like, it's all part of the plan. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm moving forward. That's all I can ask for, you know? And it's like, I'm healthy. Fuck. It's like, what else could we want? We can't wait to live. And even though I understand delayed satisfaction to create greater opportunity later, I still try to take time to be like, I don't need to work today. I can go. And the cash flow is the thing that makes that possible.
So you would buy yourself a Rolls Royce? That's the car?
Yeah, I think so. well, this is how I look at it. Because again, it's one bite at a time. I'm like, all right, I have a Mercedes right now. I love my Mercedes. It's great. It's probably Range Rover, Bentley SUV, then Rolls Royce.
Are you driven in the Rolls Royce or do you drive?
I drive, yeah. Oh, would I?
But like, what's the other one that like one you drive and one you're driven?
I think that there's a case for either one, but
what's the other the like fancy car, a Bentley. Is that it?
Yeah, Bentley. It's like a Maybach.
Okay.
Or anyways. A Maybach. Well, here's the thing. If we're really going there, I would have one of those Mercedes Sprinter vans, and I would be driven everywhere. Yeah, that would be pretty lit. But that's the thing. Is like I don't even
like the G-Wagon.
Sure, but like I don't. This is the thing. Is like to me, freedom is the goal, and it's just like certain and like experiences. Like you were saying before, it's like experiences and free. I don't need a Rolex. Right. I don't care about a Rolex. I want my estate to make $100,000 a month, and then I could just. To be quite honest with you, I would do what I'm doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I would do what I'm doing right now. The only difference is I'd probably fly the jet to you. And right. we'd do it at a resort or some shit so we could look out at some of this
stuff. I mean, if you and I were both doing our thing and we could do what the fuck we wanted, that's it. I'd be like, hey, Bobby, you know what? Let's fucking go to Mexico this weekend.
Sure.
You know? Like, I'm going to get my pilot's license this year. So, yeah, I'd become picking. Like, that's what we would do. And we would do it. And it wouldn't be any different. It would still be the same passion, but it would just be fucking leveled up.
Exactly.
And
but it would be this. That's the thing is like, I try to think about it all the time. I'm like, if I had $1 billion, it's like, what would I do? Mm-hmm. There's small incremental differences in how my life would be in the sense that like the chef would make me breakfast as opposed to me ordering on Uber Eats. But like, that's not that fucking different. Like I wake up in the morning sometimes and I'm like, acai bowl and a chef salad. That's what I did this morning. I'm like, an acai bowl and a chef salad. I'll have this chef salad for lunch. I'll have the acai bowl for breakfast. I ordered on Uber Eats. I got up. I drank a cup of coffee. I looked at the sun. I walked the dog around the block. When I get back, I take a shower. I go outside. It's sitting on the table. It's like the chef made it.
Right.
All right.
He didn't make it in your house, but he still made it.
That's what I'm saying. But that's the whole point is like, if you look at it, 10 years ago, I was like, what would be how I did? Like I would have a fucking tray of fruit every morning. I'd come and just pick from the fruit tray. It's like when you really look at it, the difference between these two things is not that different. So it's kind of like the Benz versus the Range versus the Bentley. It's just like, how much is it to rent a Bentley a month? I could probably afford that, but it's like, I could probably afford a Range Rover lease a month. Like I probably could. It's an extra $200. It's an extra $300. It's not like I go from, you know, Mercedes to Rolls Royce, but I look at the small incrementals and it's like, all right, could I afford an extra $200 a month to drive a Range Rover? Could I pay an extra $400 a month to drive a Bentley? It's like when you break it down into these bite-sized pieces and then you look at like, all right, what would my life be if I'm a billionaire? I'd exercise. I would walk the dog. I would, if I want to nap on the couch, I'd nap on the couch. Yeah, I'd be a couch in a much bigger fucking room. And, you know, it would be and maybe the neighborhood would be nicer, but it's not like my neighborhood's bad. It's like, what else would I do? Exercise, hang out with my friends. It's like, instead of being on that flight, I'd be on a first class flight or a jet. But it's like, I'm objectively doing in theory the same thing. And it's like, oh, I make a funny video. I yell on my phone about a funny video. That's hilarious. Like I would do that. Would I not do this podcast? Like I'm too rich for that shit. It's like, this is cool. So it's like, I feel like I already am rich in so many ways.
Right. I agree. I'm proud of you. That's awesome. You know, you're achieving what I would like to achieve. So
let me ask you, what separates you from what you want? Like, what is the thing that separates you from it?
Closing my cases out.
Okay. And how long does that take?
COVID is making that very difficult. So
okay.
It's, I'm hoping to have it done by August or September because right now I can't expose myself and then have people like calling my office.
Mm-hmm.
So if I expose myself and people are just calling me, like I can go tell you to go fuck yourself.
Yep.
And so I don't want that liability. I don't want that kind of pressure that I just kind of want to close this chapter of my life. And, you know, if all the attorneys then talk shit about me, that's fine. I don't really care.
Yep.
But I just needed to kind of turn that off. And so I was hoping to already be at that place when I was planning this probably like a year and a half ago. And then COVID has made that very difficult. And then I kind of get in this predicament where I have somebody walking through the door that's like, Maria, please represent me. Look at this money.
Mm-hmm.
And then I take the case on and then I kind of like prolong this. Yep. But at the same time, I need the cash flow because yep. I'm not in the place where you are right now. I'm creating a different business right now that is going to start supplementing my cash flow. And, you know, I hope that my goal with Camp Maria is that I have enough people live streaming that makes enough money that I can completely walk away from law. Cause I was going to open up my own law firm and kind of do my own thing, but mm-hmm. I'm hoping that this 3-day experience that I want to create is kind of like my new frontier so that, I do Camp Maria. I make a great deal of money. I want to make a dating app for us. I have all these plans. I want to make a political action committee. Like the real huge money that I can make off Camp Maria, like, yeah, it would be, again, great for me to like go off the grid for 2 or 3 years and like go somewhere and like never work, like put my money somewhere and like never think about this type of stuff again. But like, that's not living for me. Living for me is like doing all of this. So I want to like change things for people. So like a dating app is kind of silly, but it's the crazy, like I get more requests about that than anything. I have so many single people following me that, and I like to talk about my dating blunders a lot on my stories mm-hmm. and they've been fucking awful lately. but people are just like, God, we need a patriotic, like not a patriotic, an hour version of a dating app where there's some sort of level of like, you have to get into it. So then I think about me, okay, what if I have a dream of making essentially like a media company, very similar to like Barstool. Mm-hmm. And I want to acquire my friends and be like, have their podcast be under my media company and create an app that can't be deplatformed, that I don't have to worry about being censored, that I don't have to worry about, being shadow banned like I am. And mm-hmm. so you could get on my app and you could have, there'd be a dating aspect, you know, and there would be a grassroots political aspect and there would be a place where I'm posting stuff and my podcast would be, and, you know, people that come under my wing in that sort of way. And so that's cash flow to me, you know, that's my idea of future cash flow. Cause there would be some sort of cost associated with that on a monthly basis. It wouldn't be huge, but you know, I have 10,000 people that do that. Even if I'm mm-hmm. charging $5, then I make $50,000 a month and that's some amazing cash flow. But I have to get to the place where I can afford to do that. And then for me, like that's the ultimate dream, is like me podcasting all the time, wherever the fuck I want, saying, Bobby, let's go to Mexico. Mm-hmm. I'm here for a month because I'm planning the next Camp Maria, and you know, we're all getting together and like feeling this energy and meeting in person. And really actually talking about how do we start changing stuff at a local level? Like, what can you run for? What can you get involved with? I don't know. That's my goal and my dream. And that's how I foresee hopefully doing that sometime soon.
So I'm going to walk you down a little path here. If you would humor me, or this is just,
and this is good or bad. I just don't know.
I don't know. I think it's good. This is what I see as you tell that tale, is like, or that plan is like, okay, the offering of the cash as a way of delaying the true legend of your life or whatever. It's like, I felt the same way when I was selling websites. It's like, how am I going to turn down? Oh, here's this website job. Let me knock it out. Prolong, right? The decision to pass those up is very difficult. Doesn't get any easier. It does get easier, but it's not easy at the beginning. And the reason, and the way to do it is to have that cash flow that comes from your investments, and understand that a focus of your time on this would be all that time that you didn't have to spend on that, and that this would be able to exponentially grow. So the difference between you actualizing that goal is probably so very close. It's like,
but those are those small decisions you're talking about. Right. Shit.
It was 8 months. So,
damn,
but
it,
listen,
Bobby.
But let me tickle your bag for a second. Here's the thing. You stopped doing that. you close your cases out. It's 8 months. You have some type of fortified, like a fortified cash flow that will allow you to sustain. You're like, all right, this will buy me 24 months. I'm confident with the traction I've built up in this time frame that I could get it somewhere in 24 months. I can find my way because I'm smart enough. I can navigate my way through this. Okay, I'll be able to do it in 24 months, be able to create some cash flow. In the meantime, I still have these other investments. I'll continue to invest along the way. Meanwhile, I have all my time. In addition to that, you have to hide yourself, right? Think about that. It's like, that's the best dating app there is. It's like these blunders that you have. I bet if people could see your face, you'd be getting DMs every day about it. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. But that's the thing. So it's like literally the key to the other side of your situation is just like that alone. And even though that's a great sense of, I don't want to say it's fear, but it's like, that's
it is fear too. It's scary to leave. I've done this for 7 years. I've never done anything else. This is my first big girl job. And to be quite honest, I got paid today. I made more this month than I made my first year practicing. Now, don't get me wrong. This is an atypical month and I had some big things come in. But I look down at that and I'm just like, fuck. Like, it's great in one way because this is building the nest egg that I need to walk away and stop taking those cases. And then at the same time, it's like, oh, you beautiful, beautiful chat. You know what I mean? Like, God, I wish I could do this next month. But you're right. No, that's a huge realization right now. Those little choices are preventing me from being at a place where I could be cash flowing tens of thousands of dollars a month just by being myself.
Yes. What you also need to know is what is the lowest tier of cash flow that you would need that if this project didn't make anything for 24 months, right, that you'd still be able to do it because it's the purpose. It's the, all the other things, the reason why you want to do it, because it can get it. It certainly can. And it's not like all this brain power that you're using to make all this money over here now suddenly doesn't apply. So it's just like, it is translatable, and the free of mind allows lots of great things to happen. And what I knew when my first video popped off is I was just like, if I give this everything I got, there's no fucking way this doesn't work. Like, you couldn't convince me no matter what. I was like, nope, I'm doing this for sure. I'll fucking find a way, because it's just like that, and that conviction. And it's like, also I had all these skills, but the thing that really made it so is I'm like, if I don't make a penny, I have a cash flow that will sustain me. So it's like, then it wasn't a cash issue. I didn't make decisions based on cash. I made decisions based on purpose. And me making them on purpose translates through my content. And I ended up making and generating additional cash as a result of it not being about
cash. Of your free time, right. When you're not thinking about cash, you start making more cash.
Yes, because I would have had to make decisions
about individual business. And that's the manifestation of it all, too. When you're like supposed to kind of manifest it and let it go. Mm-hmm. Damn, you are just fucking me up right now. Oh, Maria, get your shit together.
And then all these other things would start to come to you. Right. Because like, you'd be on the other side of that. And like, yes, your cash position would be not accelerating at the same clip, but you would have these. It's like, all right, if I have X of cash flow, then I'll be good. Then it's like, you're back to grind mode. And it's just like, now you're at starter mode. And even though it sucks to sometimes take a step back to take a leap forward, it's like, if it's the leap, if I had a billion, I would do this, then it's just like, well, what are we talking about? Because you don't want to die with the music on your lips. You don't want to die not knowing that this is something that you never did because of X. And you certainly didn't want to wait till you were 40, 44, because someone else, some other person with half the talent as you, went all in and now is 10 years ahead of you. And yes, you may have more cash, but unfortunately in this business, in this game, in the game of life, in a lot of ways, you can't buy your way up. You can't just buy a shitload of Instagram ads and all this. And like, maybe you can.
We can't even buy ads at this point, you know? Exactly. I'm not even allowed to buy an ad on Instagram. This is grit and fucking grind, you know?
Exactly.
Somebody asked me on one of my little like AMAs the other day, how did you get all these followers? And I was just like, I remember way back in 2018 when it took me probably like 6 or 7 months to get 2,000 followers. And like, me and my friends, we had just made all of our fake accounts together and we were posting all the time. And we like, it was a competition. Like, we talked about it on our stories just to get to 2,000. So I know you've been there. It's weird work, But it's really fun at the same time. Like, I love it. I just want to do it all the time.
The exponential growth that you would have on the other side of the human connection mm-hmm. of people. And I'm not trying to be like, show your face.
I appreciate it. Nobody tell me.
It's facts, dude, because it humanizes it. And that's why people, I can't speak for them, but I think that's why people love me, because like they got my whole shit. They got my face. They see the shirt color I'm wearing. They see if I'm sitting outside or inside. They see if I have a tan because I was at the, like they know me in a way, and they know how I think. They know what I look like when I laugh, when I look to the left, when I look to the right, when I'm up, when I'm down. I ebb and flow with it, and you can see it on my face. It's like there's this humanness to mm-hmm. a face that has this, that leaves this very, very real mark on someone, where it's like you could see somebody's face and see them 5 years later and not even really know them, be like, I've seen that guy before. That kind of like visceral deepness of that, the human connection of it, adds another tier of value to a otherwise like single dimension account. It's like, it's not a person. So it's like, right.
People think I'm a shill all the time.
Sure. And now it's like, now you can do live streams. Like mm-hmm. I watched some of the live stream you did last night, and you were like a black box. Right. And I'm like, and here's the thing. I don't mean this in the wrong way, but like,
I was like,
shit, what does she look like? I'm like, I remember what you look like now seeing you again, but it's like, I don't have that.
There's no memory there because we've only talked that one time.
That one time. So I don't have that memory of, I'm like,
better remember this time.
Yeah, stare at But you see what I'm saying? It's like, now I know what your teeth look like. I remember how long your hair is. I remember what your eyebrows look like, how your eyes look when you smile and when you don't. You know what I mean? It's right. Like, there's more now. And if there was three of them or five of them or one every fucking day, right. Imagine the emotional connection that I would feel to you, mm-hmm. even if you were just one dimensional putting the video out and you didn't even know I was looking. That's why people message me and they're like, do you want to go get a drink? It's like, and like their fucking thumbnail photo will be like a cat. The account will be private. Their name will be like cat gal 7006. And they're like, do you want to go get a drink? And I'm like, that's like the equivalent of you walking up to me in like a hazmat,
tapping on you.
Yeah, in like a cardboard box and be like, want to get a drink? Or with no voice.
Like holding cats, just being like, hi, do you want to get a drink?
Yeah, but at least then I could see what kind of cats, how heavy are they? I'd see your arms. I'd see how tall you are. I'm like, it's like the equivalent of somebody walking up in a cardboard box with no voice or being a computerized voice. Like, do you want to get a drink? Like, I don't know anything about you. I couldn't know less. And they know me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's fucking weird. But that's the thing, is like, that's the missing piece that I think will catapult all of your stuff well beyond. So like, when you choose to make that change, now you're something. Now I see you at the march. Now I see you at the thing. Now I feel like I know you. I see how you evolve. You're my, I rely on you. And when I rely on you, I become addicted to you.
You're emotionally invested as well. And yes. I think that's James from We the People Radio. And I talk about this sometimes that, you know, I have my own personal account. I follow some celebs that I've always followed and Bravo people, but I also follow like influencers and like Nashville influencers. And it's amazing the apathy that I actually feel towards them. But by watching their stories every day, cause I can be, you know, three dimensional like that and do that on Instagram. I'm emotionally invested in their lives and I know things about them, you know, and I feel things about them. And like you're saying, I see things. And so now to think of myself as that person, it's strange. And I guess that's a hurdle I haven't had to jump, in the sense that I have kind of the safety of the black box.
Yeah,
last time I was saying, like, I'm not affiliated with BLM.
Yeah, I heard that.
but it'll be weird. It's not something, I don't even know what that feels like for you. So I feel like I have an emotional connection already. I guess that would be different in that way.
It is. And I've made some really good friends, life-changing friends that hopefully will be there forever.
Right.
As a result of this. And like, that's the thing. The guy I was just lifting at the gym with is one of the smarter guys that I know. And like, I was just lifting with him at the gym. My friend that I called for some advice last week, she followed my account back in August. Me and her have become real good friends. I chill with her all the time. Like, I'll see her this week. It's like, it creates a demand that it creates new social connections. It magnetizes people to me. Whereas like, I always used to hate when I would like, I would hate when I would go out to a bar or go to a place here in town, especially when I moved here, not knowing anyone. And I'd be like, I'm fucking awesome. But at this bar, I'm nothing more than the measure of what the fuck I'm wearing, what I look like right now, and what bullshit I can say in the first 3 minutes. And then they have to draw conclusions about whether or not I'm worth their time. And then I have to build that rapport over time. I show up to the party on time. I bring a bottle of wine. What kind of bottle of wine is it? Did I get there on time? Did I stay late? Did I clean up?
Did I stay the appropriate amount of time? Did I say the right things?
Yes.
No.
Right.
Yes. Sorry.
It's like this thing is so great because it builds rapport on its own. When I was in high school, I made a website that got really popular when I was in high school. And like, I remember I people all knew who I was. They were like, yo, that's the website guy. Like, oh, I saw his website last night. That was hilarious. People would print it out sometimes and bring it to school. I sold t-shirts.
Oh my God. How amazing is that? Yeah. That'll never happen again.
Yep, I sold the
best thing about our generation. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yep, I sold t-shirts with my website on it, which was just my first initial last name .com, and I sold t-shirts around the school. And like, some people would like troll me and make fun of it, but I was like fairly popular. And the point of the story is, one morning I made this really funny. I made a lookalike contest where I took pictures of all my friends and I compared them what they look like. One guy was Grimace. One guy was Trump. One guy was like a cockroach. It was like all these funny ones. One guy had a long neck and a big head, and it was ET. And I had this lookalike contest. And when I came to school the next morning, people were like, "Yo, that was the funniest shit ever!" And like, people like wanted to talk to me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I just magnetized people thinking I'm funny and magnetize people wanting to talk to me. I magnetize social situations to me by putting in work once and broadcasting it. And it was like, it built the clout for me. And then I was the guy. And it's like, I do it once, it marinates around. And that's how I feel like this account has done. It's like, I work really hard, and then 10,000 people see it, and then 20,000 people see it, and now 40,000 people see it. And it's like, it gets to a point where you could work really hard and it could blast to 1 million people. And then something happens that's a challenge, and they see how you handle the challenge. You're either out in the open, ready to get shots taken at you, or you're on the sidelines. And there is no in between. It's like, you're out or you're not. And it's just like, there's a lot of beauty in being out, and there's a lot of beauty in being back. But you got to just decide, like, which side of the wall are you going to be on? But once you choose it, if it's there for the right purpose, it ultimately can blossom into so many more things. And the fact that you are open for shots to get taken at you pales in comparison to all the upside benefit of being out there in the first place and not waiting in the corner to have this artificial layer of protection that you think that you have. And I don't mean you, I just mean people.
No, I agree. But especially me. Mm-hmm. Well, damn, you have lit a fire under my ass.
Hell yeah.
I think I'm going to tell my staff tomorrow that I'm no longer taking any new cases.
Oh shit. Oh, look at, I just did that. Oh god.
This is wonderful. This is what I needed. This makes sense. If I want to get done in August or September,
yep,
prior to Camp Maria and let myself out there, this is what I have to do.
You need the free thought. Mm-hmm. Because without the thought, you only are operating with half a tank.
And like, that's anxiety and stress and like so much stuff. And like, literally, yep, like I find time to be Maria, like in the moments that I should have just to myself. So I don't really have, mm-hmm, a lot of time to myself. So like, if I'm in the bathroom, I'm finding something and posting it as soon as I can and getting it on there and reading as many DMs as I can and responding as quickly as I can and looking at my Telegram and going to Twitter. And then it's like, okay, I got to go back because if I'm not billing, you know, I'm not making money. And it's, yep, just a fucking Ouroboros of a rat race.
Yep. It's a trap.
You got me going. Okay. Where do you invest?
Like in stocks?
Like, or if somebody was like, gosh, I really liked what Bobby said, I kind of want to imitate him, what apps do you use? Like,
I use E-Trade, and I buy primarily, what I tell people is like, I would never buy stock in a company that I don't understand. I wouldn't just buy it because it seems like it's right. I would only buy it in ones that I understand. I'm an internet person, a technology person. So all of my stocks are technology with the exception of one, which is interestingly enough, my worst position, my worst performing position, because I didn't understand it. I just bought it because I was like, ah, weed stock, meh. Mm-hmm. And it's a bag of shit. All my technology stocks are doing great because I understand technology. And I also say to people is like, I try to only buy stocks in companies that I pay directly. So like I use Uber. I used Uber this weekend. I like the Uber app. If they make an upgrade, I see what they're doing. I can see them shucking and jiving. I can feel it. I can see what's happening. And I look at the fundamentals, but it's like I buy stock in Uber. I use Lyft sometimes. I have stock in Lyft. I use Verizon for my cell phone service. I like it. I'll have it for the next 20 years. I have Verizon stock. Like things like that. I would only try to invest into things that I know. I invest primarily in technology stocks because I think that they have huge upside potential. But the real game is invest in something that you can influence its value with your own advantage or your own grit. And what I mean by that is like, if I was anything having to do with real estate, if I had any experience, any depth of experience or any advantage there, this is why you would do real estate. You're either an agent, you're a broker, you have cash so you could save on financing, or you're a mortgage broker so you could get a great mortgage deal, or you're an interior designer, or you're a stager, or you love architecture, or maybe you know a neighborhood inside and out, know the town you know inside and out, you got the inside track on the deals, you know the agents, you have an advantage, or you're a builder, or you're a handyman, or you're a painter, or you have some type of thing that you could save. Like I'm going to be a landlord, but I can repair the toilet. I can do the electrical. I can change the bathroom. I can upgrade it myself. If I had any of those skills, I would invest in real estate because I could influence the value by saving in the place that I'm strong. And I could influence it by just putting in extra time and having grit and working really hard at it. But I don't know real estate like that. So what I invest in is I invest in cash flowing websites. I understand how to build a website, monetize a website, grow it, build it, whatever. So I buy basically dilapidated houses, websites, I remodel them and I rent them out for more. That's essentially what I do to simplify it because I have an advantage there because I understand it with a great amount of depth. So for someone like you, it's like, what would you do? It's like, you understand the legal world. Maybe. Well, and
like, so that's what I like about real estate. So if I want to be the slumlord, I can file the lawsuits, evict you, sure. Write the contracts. You know, I don't have to hire outside counsel for that. That's all me. And exactly. I think, at least in my mind, when negotiating these contracts and selecting these people, I think maybe the attorney adds a little bit level of like a, you might do something to one landlord that perhaps you wouldn't necessarily do with me in that kind of way. So that's something that I think I bring to the table within that, subject matter, and which is not my expertise primarily, but in the same kind of manner that you're talking about right now.
You could also be, there's a cash investor, mm-hmm. and there's a GC, and you help handle the contracts, the LLC, the negotiation of the right. structure, and you get 5 points on the project. And you could just have these. And there's your cash flow. It's like these guys are off building, doing the thing. You just do it once, you set it, let it go. Or maybe you put in cash too, and then there's your real estate investment, there's your cash flow. Or they build a townhouse and rent it, and then you get from that upside. It's like you use your advantage in whatever makes sense to generate cash flow. I didn't know that cash flowing websites was even a thing. I didn't even know that. To be honest with you, you asked me 5 years ago. I didn't know that that was even I didn't know that marketplace existed. But because I was always trying to raise my piece, it's like it just emerged. So anyone that's listening can be like, it's like, where do you have the advantage? What is the thing that you have over other people? And what could you do where you could invest it in at one time and it could grow on its own? And that is the ultimate game. And it's hard to find out. But if you could unlock it, you essentially, you're free.
You mentioned that you like to buy stocks that have dividends. Are those primarily your techs, or are those something else?
I like dividends, but I don't. But I'm self-aware enough to know that I don't have enough money to really make the dividend stocks make enough. So what I like doing is like my Verizon stock is my big dividend payer. It pays 4.75% yield a year, something like that. So it's like, for the longest time, I had $1,000 in there. And now, but the cool thing about it is like when you buy more, in E-Trade, it has this thing that says estimated income. You get paid every quarter. You have estimated income. So if I have $1,000, it's like you get paid whatever 5% is, $57 or whatever a year. Each quarter, it's like 18, whatever. If you go buy another 1,000, now your estimated income goes up to whatever. So what I love is like every time let's say I put $7,000 in the market, I'll put another 1,000 in my Verizon and my estimated income goes up. Right now, my estimated annual income for my Verizon position is like $700 a year or something like that. I have like $5,000 or something. It's like $700 a year is $54 a month. And it's like, if I keep building up this Verizon position, it'll be 1,000 a month eventually, you know, and then it'll be 5,000 a month. And that's like, there's your cash flow. Now, granted, I need lots of money in Verizon stock, but it's like each time I acquire more stock, I see that estimated go up. The problem with Verizon stock is that it doesn't really like go up big time. Like it stays about
the
same.
It's not going to the moon.
Yeah, it stays between $50 and $60, mm-hmm. you know, for a share. So I like buying things like Facebook stock that's growing gangbusters. I buy Shopify that grows gangbusters. I'm buying tech stocks that I think could go 10x. Mm-hmm. The probability that Verizon will go 10x is extremely low. But I love seeing that estimated income go up. I know that if I put in another five, I just made another 10 bucks a month. And it's like, when you think about cash flow in that way, where it's like every dollar counts, it's like, I make 50 bucks a month, just free and clear, 50 a month. And at any time, if I want to sell the position, I could sell the position, but I'm a long hold type of cat. So it's like, I'm just going to never sell it. I got 50 bucks every month, which means in theory, I'll never be broke because I could sell my house, sell everything that I got. And I still got 50 bucks a month so I could eat. And it's like, yeah, it seems so
all month long.
You really could
live in the forest.
Live in the forest, mm-hmm. but like it exists. So that's what I'm saying is like, if we think about it, it's like, it's only 50. It's like, yeah, but I know how much money that I need to buy in Verizon stock to make 1,000 a month. And if I had 1,000, it's 1,000 times whatever 4.75. Okay. It's I think it'd be 40. Well, it'd be 1,000 a month. That would be 1,000 a year. I don't know. It's a lot. It's probably like a few hundred thousand dollars. It's right. Probably like maybe a hundred something thousand dollars. But the point is that I can quantify it. It's like I buy it.
It's
there
attainable.
It is.
And it's, you're leveling up each time. You know what I mean? Like you're taking a tiny bit more piece of the pie, a tiny bit more piece of the pie every time. And you're finally leveling up over a series of time.
Yeah, exactly. I'm curious what the math is on this, but it's like $1,000 a month would be 12% a year. So whatever 4.75%, $12,000 is 4.75% of what is the question. So it's gotta be like 20, it's gotta be about 20 times that or 22 times that.
12,000 is 4.75 of what?
Yeah, so if you do it in reverse, it's something like $200,000. It's approximately $200,000, maybe a little more.
$252,631.
There you go. So for $252,000, you could make $1,000 a month on Verizon stock.
How do you feel about taking that $252 and putting that in real estate, though?
No, but that's why I don't have it all in Verizon stock.
Right.
So like, it's just a small part of my position. And that's the thing is like, that's why I'm like if you look at it and as it relates to my full portfolio, it's very small.
Right.
And, but it's like.
But you're just chipping away.
Yes. But the other thing is this is like stocks go against, are almost, are the, are against the theory that I was just explaining. How do I make the stock worth more money? I can't. How do I use my work, effort, grit, and advantage to make more money in the stock? I can't. Out. It's a holding position until I can use it to something that I can generate real cash flow. When I bought a website that was making like literally $0 a year. And I bought this website. It was basically dead off this guy for $1,100. That site makes about $1,100 a month now.
But like, what is it? Can I ask?
I can't tell you.
Okay.
It's a blog. I can tell you it's a blog.
But
it's,
so
it's
like
just a,
it makes $1,100 in total, or it makes $1,100 that goes to you?
No, it makes like it's pretty much pure profit. The costs are very low. It's just like my time. But it's like I invested in this blog that was dead. I tuned it up, repositioned the advertisements, increased the speed, marketed it to my existing advertisers and it makes $1,000 a month now. And it's like, wow. So that's a $12,000 a year return from a $1,000 investment. And like, objectively, that site could probably be sold. They usually sell at about a 28 to 30x multiple of that last 12 months average. So let's just say it's, so the site's worth 30 grand. So it's like the site's worth 30 grand. It makes a G a month and I spent one. Now all of my investments are not as explosive as this one, but the point is like, that's the type of shit where it's like, what am I doing buying Verizon stuff? It's like, because this is explosive. Now I have other sites that I have one site that was 20 times as expensive as that site that makes the same amount per month. I just so happened to hit on that one. But like, to me, the difference between where I'm at right now and my $18 million house is like, I need 60 of these. Like right now I have six. But if I had 60, all right, that's not that far. That's 54. Well, how many do I need a year to get 54? It's like, well, what if I bought one that was twice the size? Then I only need 20. Then I only need 26. Or 27. Then it's like, all right, 27. How much cash do I need? Well, I don't even really need cash. The interest rates are low as shit. So really what I need is leverage. So it's just like, well, how much leverage do I need? How much
that
leverage?
Into your cash flow.
Right. It's like, I can borrow on my home equity at 5 points or whatever it is. You can take an SBA loan at 3% because of the Corona clap. That's a gift. It's like, as long as I can make more than 3% on the money, I win. So it's like, now I'm like, how do I use all this leverage? I want a pool. I wanted a pool my whole life.
You talked about this pool, this whole podcast. Come on. Manifest that destiny.
Pool's 50 clams. If I buy a pool right now, it takes 60. Yeah, because I got the lawn, the whole thing, the in-ground. I'm not going to build a shit pool and build a nice pool. Whatever.
Right.
Point is,
do it right.
That's 50 racks. I know that I can invest 50K in what I'm doing right now and make 2 G's a month for it. That's $24,000 a year. So if I could be patient, I got a pool in 2 years.
Right.
So it's just like,
you got to sell, you know, like a, you got to put this into like a class you could sell.
It's called At Take Naps. That's the point. That's the class.
Do
that's
you have
what
this
I'm saying.
Already and I don't know about
no,
it?
No, but.
Okay. Or why don't you just call it Taking Naps?
Because the value add of the channel is a combination. It's a variety of different dishes in a restaurant. It's like, I'm not a one trick pony. It's like, you get a little bit of motivation, a little bit of information, a little bit of laughs, and a little bit of financial, whatever the fuck. That's the magic of the channel. And it's free. It's free for all.
Right.
All you got to do is share it, like it, post it, share it. People donate to me on my Venmo. People donate
on
Venmo.
Okay. So I got on your live. Was it last night or the night before?
Last night,
and
maybe.
I didn't know that people could do that. That's interesting.
You know why I could do that? Because I fucking color between the lines.
Fucking color in between the lines. Wow,
the
that's
lines.
What. What? How do you classify your account? Like, are you business? Are you personal?
Yeah, it's business. I'm a comedian.
Okay, that's wild.
So I sell badges. So people buy the badges to support because they appreciate it.
I saw
right?
that. Do you set the price of the badge or do they set the
no,
price?
They do. Instagram does.
It was like
but
99
also,
cent, like 1.99 and like
yeah,
$5.99.
It kind of sucks because they take 30 points, which is aggressive.
Ooh,
like
I was
going
to ask.
Somebody buys a $5 badge, I only get $3.50. And their payout is like net 1,000 days. It's like net 90 days or something crazy. So I still haven't received any of that money yet. But it's accumulating, and I appreciate that. But the point is that, like, I had a girl last night that donated $100 on Venmo during my live.
Wow.
Another guy donated $45, and I think I sold $76 worth of badges. So when you tee it up, that's $220 in 2 hours. My first live stream, I mean, it made nothing.
Right.
So it's like this live stream made $220. That's amazing. That's the biggest live stream ever, and it was yesterday. So it's like, I'm just continuing to hit because I know that it'll be 420 and then 1,000. And then I could do 15 a month. That's 15 clams. And then it's like, how many more racks do I need to get that crib? You know, because
right.
It's like, so it's like, I don't even want to fray my focus to something to buy because people are already supporting. So it's like, I give them everything I got.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just happens to be my strategy. And so far, bless them. People have been showing up to support. They buy merch in the store. They watch the videos. And it's like, I just see, it's like, if I make a penny today and I can make 25 pennies next week, then I see the trajectory. And I understand that the difference between the video that I make right now that makes $7 and the video that I'll make a year from now that could make $70 or $700 are not very objectively different. So it's just a matter of the build, the color between the lines, the stay on the strategy, the give it your all, the never give up, the focus, the make you love me, make you rely on me, make you get addicted to me, and then me reciprocate that addiction with real, true, objective value consistently over time. That's what I'm trying to do. And so far it's showing the signs of what could be and should be, and I think is already like a great success. Even if you just look at it purely in the fun alone, it's like, it's fucking awesome. It's the shit.
In the fun alone, in the energy alone, in the joy that it brings to your life, the stress that it probably alleviates from your life. Even if, again, if we make no money on this, again, if we made $50 a month and it was enough to sleep in the forest and eat ramen, yeah. I think if you get to be like wild and crazy in yourself, like it sounds so nice.
Yeah. And I don't want people to think that it's like I'm racking 220 on a live or that's the only reason I'm doing it. It's just that like this is real production. This is real output. This is what I'm doing. That's my show. I just did a 2-hour stand up comedy show, you know, for free. And people were I'm lucky enough that people were I'm fortunate enough that people were generous. But yeah, it's like I would do it for free. But it's like these things allow you to do it for more.
Your time is worth something. You don't need to apologize for that. And I think that if an individual is narrow-minded enough to continue Q's rhetoric of, you know, that there's something wrong with people that are benefiting. I think that the whole narrative should have been was like there's something wrong profiting off of Q in some way. But if you're going to be Bobby Sausalito and I'm going to be Maria – and through just the way that we are and the way we present information, if that somehow allows me to monetize just being myself, if you think that that somehow violates this like Q thing and makes me like a patriot, like get the fuck off my page. Like why would we all not want to like monetize what makes us passionate? So that discussion is very difficult for me, especially like I bill in increments of an hour. That's how I make money normally as the attorney. And so for someone to slide into my DM sometimes and say that I'm arrogant or say that I'm obsessed with money in some sort of way, it's like, well, to what do I owe this duty to you? To what? Why do you think that I owe a duty to be Maria and to put this out there for you and to put literally, again, if I walk from my desk to my bathroom and I go to the bathroom, I am Maria from the time I step up from my desk, go to the bathroom and come back. So, y'all, I give y'all my all. I know Bobby does too. But for someone to say like that's not worth anything on some level, I think... is a very, again, basic elementary understanding of life. And if that's what you think, that's great. I'm not here to change your opinion. Just get the fuck off my page and out of my DMs. But no. So I don't think there's anything wrong with what you say in, I know you're not out here. I know you're out here for the money, but you're not out here for the money. Does that make sense? Yeah.
It allows you. Yeah. I'm out here for freedom. And if I can have, if I can have purpose, if I can have purpose and freedom simultaneously, that's the ultimate
purpose,
goal.
Purpose, passion, and freedom, like all together. Hell yeah. I love
There's this other creator that says he's like, thank you for all the support, for the super chats, for the donations, and for buying my merch. It allows me to stay independent and produce more of this content for you. That's what it is. It's like. That's why it's like when I can do a live stream and I can know that it could generate enough that I'm like good for that day, it makes me do more live streams. And that's ultimately what they're buying is they're just like, I want more from this dude. And that's what it is. And it's just like, you got to give the people what they want and the market has spoken. And as long as we keep producing value, they feel that the exchange of that money is worth what they got. I mean, people message me all the time and they're like, I really needed this today, or like this made my day, made my week. I'm dying laughing. I pissed myself. I spit my water out. I get those messages all the time. And it's like, when you really think about it, it's like, what's $5? It's like, what is that? It's who cares? It's like, I totally understand the value exchange that's happening. And thankfully there are people that think like that and it allows these things to flourish.
That's awesome. Lastly, kind of where, like, when you're researching stuff, what do you, where do you go? How do you research?
I like listening to both sides because I don't want to, because it's like, it's important to know your enemy just as good as well as it is to know who's on your side. I think my daily digest consists of, maybe not daily, but pretty much every day or every other day. Every single day I listen to Luke from wearechange.org. I watch his YouTube videos every day. I listen to Crowder to see what he's talking about, even though I don't always get the most information from there. I listen to Ben Shapiro, even though some of his information, he kind of highlights good news stories that I can go dive into. I listen to the Ron Paul Liberty Report pretty much like every day. I listen to Peter Schiff whenever Peter Schiff drops a podcast. He's an economist. Honestly, like I listen to Dream Rare, Anomaly. I listen to him all the time. I love his stuff. And one of my favorite accounts is one of my favorite accounts on Instagram is Garbaggio. Garbaggio's Revenge is like, he always brings the heat. And accounts like yours, Natalie Denise, I mean, kind of like everyone. Wake Up With Linda. I love her account. She shares a lot of good stuff. And I honestly get probably the vast majority of my information and direction from where to begin on Instagram. And I do a lot of YouTube video consuming and podcast consuming primarily through YouTube, to kind of get the depth of the stories. But honestly, I find most of it on Instagram.
That's great.
That's like the root.
Do you have any books that you would recommend?
So the obvious ones, I think in terms of business, one of the greatest books I ever read was Zero to One by Peter Thiel. One of the best business books I ever read. I think that The Alchemist is an obvious one. I think everybody already knows about The Alchemist. Peter Schiff, cause I love the economy, cause I think that it's kind of like it's like the nature of money. It's like if money were nature is the economy. That's how I think about it. Mm-hmm. There's a book by Peter Schiff called How an Economy Grows and Why It Crashes, which I think is a really interesting book. And right now I'm actually listening to this book by this guy named Corey Wayne called I believe it's called Mastering Yourself. He's really awesome, and I'm kind of like halfway through it. I don't read books really. I just listen to them. But that one's been really good. And another one of my favorites ever is there's this one by Barbara Corcoran, who I love, from Shark Tank. Let me see if I can get the title for it. It's really long. Oh no, this is just the short. It's called Shark Tales. And it's basically a book about her. It's basically a book about like her childhood and how she learned different things from her mom. Yeah, Shark Tales by Barbara Corcoran.
This is Audible.
Yeah, Shark Tales. And Mastering Yourself by Corey Wayne. That's the one that I'm listening to right now. Actually, I do have kind of a lot of books, interesting enough. Living with a Seal by Jesse Itzler is badass as fuck. That book is really cool. Jesse Itzler is cool as hell. So Living with a Seal is another one.
Cool. Thank you. Where can everyone find you?
At Take Naps on Instagram, at Take Naps on Parler, Bobby Sausalito on Facebook and YouTube, and BobbySauce.com is where all the links are at.
Are you back on Parler? What's it like? Fucking wild, wild west.
I don't browse as much there. I just drop my YouTube videos there. There's not as much engagement. A lot of people don't know that it's back, but
it's like the redheaded stepchild, you know, the prodigal son's come back, but everyone forgot. Yeah. I honestly forgot about Parler literally until you just brought it up.
That's the sad part about it. I don't know what'll happen with it, but like the Telegram, I didn't get too deep into Telegram. I made a Gab account, and then like Gab is being demonized now, and I'm like, I don't even know. I made a TikTok the other day just to see what would happen, and like TikTok is a great place to get lost, but I have to make different style content, which to me takes me away from kind of my magic. So I'm fucking around on TikTok, but it's like I've seen people with big accounts just get clapped for no reason, and I don't like that.
Oh,
so
really?
I'm the Instagram is home base. Facebook is another place that I reach a lot of people. And then I put all the stuff up on YouTube so that it's indexable and can be found. And those are kind of like the main spots. And then BobbySauce.com is all the links. And I keep all my podcast links are all there. The podcast that I did with you, the link is there on.
Oh,
on,
cool.
On
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'll definitely send this one to you as well.
Cool.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
No problem. That was fun. And I hope to be back again.
Everyone, this was episode 64 of the My Maria 777 podcast. You can find me here. You can find me on Twitter. My Instagram is My Maria with an extra A 777. Go to my website. New merch launch coming soon. And more details on Camp Maria coming soon as well. Check you guys on the flip side. Thank you so much. That was awesome.